passage, I still haven't truly understood God's grace. It just, about the time I think I've got a handle on it, there's some nuances that show up. I think I've got a little further to go. And I finally just accepted, I'm still learning. I invite you in that journey. The hope that we have is in the true message of the gospel of Jesus. The gospel that is, not shall, but is now bearing fruit. We just heard a story of it. We've seen it. I call Tommy our hugger. She just makes her way through. God's just given her a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful spirit. And she's an encouragement to all of us. The gospel that grabbed hold of her in the middle of an ugly situation, abusive, painful, far from her homeland. Do you pray in Japanese or in English, Tommy? Yeah, do you pray in Tommy?
I pray in English.
Oh, you do? Well, yeah, sometimes you mix it up. I understand that. Transformed her life. And she touches people. The gospel that touched her is the gospel that touched every one of us. It is bearing fruit and growing throughout the world. It is the source of our hope. Through that passage, we've been talking about the three virtues of Christianity: faith in Christ Jesus as Lord, love for God's people, hope reserved for us in heaven. But I want you to notice something. Faith and love spring up from hope. If we just stop there, that would leave some of us, I don't know about you, it would leave me sort of feeling not too positive. Faith and love spring up from hope. Life situations have a way of just ripping hope out of our thinking. Faith and love spring out of hope, but hope is rooted in the gospel of Jesus. See, Christian hope is optimistic, but it is built on more than optimism and positive thinking. Just be positive. Start thinking positive. There's something much deeper in that. It is optimistic, and it prompts positive thinking because of who God is and what God has promised us through Jesus Christ. English commentator, reflecting on these verses that we're looking at today, wrote, "The faith and love of the Colossians have been nourished not by an inner effort of the will, but rather by the solid fact of the promises of God. This hope of the coming of the Savior," notice the British spelling, "the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting is something given us by God. As such, this hope depends not on whether they can maintain a mood of optimism in changing circumstances, but on the unchanging character of God." There's a lot of people that say, be optimistic. Things are going to be great. Just think positive. Get up every morning and go through your litany of, I'm positive, things are going to be great, it's going to be wonderful, and in about 3 minutes, I'm going to step outside, and things are going to go downhill from there. Something that's deeper than this in the gospel. See, optimism by itself is defined this way. a disposition or a tendency to look on the more favorable side of events or conditions and to expect the most favorable outcome. Key words: tendency to look on the favorable, expect the most favorable outcome. Belief that good ultimately predominates over evil in the world. The belief that goodness pervades reality. The doctrine that the existing world is the best of all possible worlds. Synonyms are confidence, hopefulness, cheerfulness. That's the definition of optimism. I don't know about you, but some days I need an attitude adjustment of optimism and positive thinking, because it gets pretty ugly. Actually, I think we know of a lot of Christians that could use an attitude adjustment. But friends, it's not a matter of just saying, I'm going to be optimistic today. Things are going to be wonderful. Things are going to be great. The Scripture teaches us a much better source of hope for our world. See, Paul teaches us that the hope for Christians comes from the gospel that was taught and was bearing fruit in the Colossian believers and in the Roman believers and in us today. The same gospel that changed the lives of those believers is spreading throughout the world with the same results. We don't always see that, do we? That's why I love this, that song. It reflects the prayer in the Scripture. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my mind so that I can see you. Because some days I just don't see it. This same gospel that changed the lives of those believers in Colossae and in Rome is spreading throughout the world with the same results of those believers. It is the gospel that has come to each one of us who are gathered here this morning as believers. Let's just take a moment to define this gospel. The Apostle John describes it pretty clearly for us in his letter to the Romans. In the first few verses, he just introduces it this way, his letter to the Romans. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. First thing we see in this is the gospel is the good news about Jesus, who was born into the lineage of King David here on earth. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, one with God, second person of the triune God, not a second God, but a second person within the triune God of Scripture. He became human and he lived among us. And living among us, he revealed God. We'll hear that passage a lot in the coming weeks of Advent and Christmas season. Jesus, the Son of God, became flesh. The Word of God became flesh and lived among us. And we saw the glory of God. He modeled and taught the life God designed us to live. He taught the kingdom of heaven is near. That was his primary message. The kingdom of God is near. And he commissioned his disciples to teach the same message. And then he was crucified. And sometimes that's where we stop. Did all the good, wonderful, and look what the result is. Ah, but But the Apostle Paul goes on to say, he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is our Lord. Jesus is the power of God for salvation to everyone that believes. This gospel changed the life of the Colossian believers from the day they first heard and understood the truth of God's wonderful grace. A huge city dominated by the mystery religions. Now I'm going to take some time in a few weeks, possibly into January, to look at some of those mystery, what that mystery religion did and how they were transformed from that. Big time. And that church, a lot of those early believers had Jewish background, and so they were also confused by teachings of rituals out of Judaism, and they were losing track of the gospel of Jesus. And one of the major purposes of this gospel was to tell people, get your faith back in Jesus. Focus on who Jesus is. And through Advent, we're going to look at this, who Jesus is. That gospel changed the lives of those Colossian citizens. Transformed them until they were perceived as people who lived by faith in Christ as Lord, who loved one another and loved God's people and had a hope rooted and grounded in God. That gospel, the scripture says, is now bearing fruit everywhere by changing the lives, just as it did for the Colossian believers. And folks, we're getting the message constantly from across the world. People are coming to faith in Jesus Christ around the world. God is moving throughout our world. The gospel provides a hope that is stronger than mere optimism. We need something more than a disposition or a tendency to look on the favorable side. A secular thought that good ultimately predominates over evil. Folks, this is what the scripture says, 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 19. Our world is under the control of the evil one. That's the reality of life, folks. We can change presidents from now and every other day for doomsday. It's not going to get a whole lot better. Our hope is not in our president. Our hope is not in our government. Our hope is not in our future. Our hope really is not in our military strength. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. We need to realize our world is under the control of the evil one. That's scripture. That's just not a negative doomsday sayer. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, teaches us our struggles in this world are against the spiritual forces of evil. Behind the terrorist forces is the force of evil in our world. Goodness by itself does not pervade reality or dominate evil in this world. The existing world is not the best of all worlds. You see, the scripture teaches very clearly this world has been corrupted by evil and is doomed for destruction. That teaching is very prominent in scripture by Jesus himself. But here's where the gospel comes in. The gospel declares that Jesus came to save the world. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. One of the things that we do see in Scripture is through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus defeated Satan and the forces of hell and has provided full forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God. Now you say, okay, how do you put those together? The world is under the dominion of evil. God has sent Jesus to save the world. What we do know is that through the death, resurrection of Jesus, Satan was defeated. He was not destroyed. Satan and the power of evil is a cornered squirrel fighting like crazy. You don't want to tangle with a cornered squirrel. They may look small, but they can be vicious. The Scripture is very clear that at the second coming of Jesus is when Satan and the forces of evil will be destroyed once and for all. So what does that do for us today? We keep listening to the Scripture. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us and promises to come again someday to take us to be with him forever. And in the meantime, we need to hear something else. And here's the beginning of hope in the middle of our world. The kingdom of heaven is present now in the hearts of all who believe in God and have come to him through Christ Jesus as Lord. Jesus, speaking to some opponents, said, "The kingdom is among you. It is within you." That teaching is recorded 17th chapter of Luke. So today, Jesus is the hope of our world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to God except through me." The Apostle Peter, preaching on the birth date of the church, the launching date, said, "God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." Our salvation comes through Jesus, and it starts in our hearts. It starts with you and me. Our hope is this: God is pulling everything in heaven and on earth into unity under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And it will happen. I've been referencing this scripture several times lately. There is our hope. God is planning something for the future. In fact, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If you feel like you're not sure what's going on, well, don't feel lonely. We live in a world under the dominion of evil. Satan is still alive. He's defeated, but he's alive, and he's desperate. That's the world. And now Jesus says, just keep praying. "Father, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Guess where God's kingdom work starts? On earth as in heaven. It starts in the heart of every believer. Our hope is not a government system. Our hope is not an economy system. That is not it, because our world is under the dominion of evil. The hope of the world is in Jesus working through the heart of individual believers, radiating God's love wherever we may go. That's our hope. And so, We look forward to a new day and a new world. A world that is already being created by God. A kingdom that is not a new idea by the New Testament. Dave read it for us a few minutes ago. It's the kingdom prophesied 700 years before Jesus by the prophet Isaiah. I am creating a new kingdom, a new world. Becky found a picture, a lion and a lamb together laying down in a pasture. Can you imagine that picture? Just that ought to just about strip every gear in our brain outside of what God is doing. It's a kingdom governed by God, said the Apostle John in his revelation, vision of the revelation, God's ultimate victory. I saw a new kingdom and a new earth coming down out of heaven, and the Lord God saying, now I will be with you and you will be my people. Revelation 21. It's our hope. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you. Once again, you've heard me say it. Is it come down or is it go up? You just grab the scripture you want, okay? How many want to go to another planet? Oh, that's all. How many would you? If somebody comes to you and says they have the answer, don't you listen. They haven't read the full scripture. God's going to work in ways that are just going to strip the gears of our brain. What is it? Our greatest wisdom is somewhere at the low IQ of God. We live as citizens today of heaven, representatives of Jesus in the world. Said Jesus, you are the light of the world. In the darkest corner of the world, you are the light. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ in the middle of our world. In another letter, Paul says, we are the gospel read by all people. What are people reading in us? Oh, our job's not to tell everybody how bad they are. Our job is to give hope, be representatives of Jesus. So what do you think would happen if we would authentically internalize this hope and live it in our world? What do you think would happen? Shane Claiborne, activist and writer, reflecting on the disciples of Jesus, wrote, one by one, these disciples would infect the nations with grace. It wasn't a call to take up the sword or the throne and force the world to bow. Rather, they were to live the contagious love of God to woo the nations into a new future. That's the work of the church. How you been doing? Loving your neighbor and representing Jesus. Saying attributed to Mother Teresa, we do not need guns and bombs to bring peace. We need love and compassion. Oh, sometimes our world gets pretty confused. Islamic militants are trying to bring about the way of God through force and terror. It's not God's way. Study it. The church has tried it. There have been periods of history, a period called the Crusades. The church has tried it. It has failed miserably every time. We are the source of hope The Apostle Paul just puts it this way, speaking about himself, but we can pick it up. God has given us the privilege and authority to tell people everywhere what God has done for them so that they will believe in him, obey him, and glorify his name. See, I wonder if Paul could speak this way of us. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love you have for all of God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, a hope which you have already heard about in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way the gospel is today bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Now, back to that little girl. I remember growing up thinking I didn't have to worry about things too long because Jesus was going to come next week. And in fact, I better hurry up and get right so I didn't burn in hell. That was the message I heard. I don't know what you all heard when you were growing up. The more I've come to watch and listen to Scripture, I don't see a whole lot of change between now and the day that I finally go on to my grave, my eternal hope. Next generation has a challenge. Here's my dream. Father in heaven, for this little girl and for your children, for Evie and Autumn and Sammy, for Declan, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Friends, the gospel of Jesus is the power of God for hope. Watch this.